And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
All Elite explodes onto the scene, but was it with a bang or a whimper? Hulk Hogan returns to Raw to honor Mean Gene, but Lars Sullivan does not debut. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event here on TSN Radio, the MLW Radio Network, and patreon.com/SNMEradio. My name is Jason Agnew, going it solo this week, but joined by a series of voices to take you through 2 hours of pro wrestling chatter as we wrap up a very newsworthy week. First up, two podcast pundits on the Triple Threat this week, co-host of Wrestling Observer Live, Mike Sempervivi, as well as the host of the Between the Ropes podcast, Brian Fritz. Plus, in the second hour, it's the return of the Wrestling Observer Insider with Dave Meltzer. Dave is back from his trip to Japan, and we'll get the details on his trip and the scoop of the New Japan Exodus and All Elite behind-the-scenes details. Bartender Dave is also going to pop in for a nightcap to chat about his new favorite brand of wrestling, NXT UK. And yes, the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament continues in the International Division. All that and more, but first things first, it's your weekly wrap-up of all that happened in the world of wrestling, so let's get you caught up with the week of news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, let's face it, the biggest news of the week came on Tuesday, and it has nothing to do with SmackDown. It was the All Elite Double or Nothing Rally. I'll give my personal take on this event in the next segment, but for now, let's just break down the AEW news of the week. First of all, it was confirmed that AEW Double or Nothing will take place at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada on Saturday, May 25th, 2019. That's the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend. And yes, the card will feature All Elite's most prominent signee, Chris Jericho. Jericho main evented the press conference, shall we say, showing up at the end saying he was all in with All Elite Wrestling. He said he wasn't there for the money, he's there because he believes in doing something different and new. He hyped up the promotion, saying that they're going to change the whole universe. Apparently, Jericho's contract is a 3-year deal and will still allow him to work for New Japan and do his annual cruise. Jericho also stated on Busted Open Radio that there's a big TV deal on the table, and he wouldn't have gone there if that wasn't present. But the deal has yet to be finalized and thus yet to be announced. In addition to Jericho, we also got appearances by WWE's Neville, now going by Pac, and of course, no longer with the WWE, Joey Janela, Penelope Ford, and MJF. That's Maxwell Jacob Friedman, who was or is a part of MLW? We need to have Court Bauer back on the show soon. I'll work on that. Back to this, the Young Bucks announced that the organization has also partners with China's OWE, that's Oriental Wrestling Entertainment. Brandi Rhodes said that both men and women would be paid equally in the promotion. Cody, meanwhile, emphasized that wins and losses would matter in AEW and later would also announce that Billy Gunn would be working with the promotion in a producer capacity. So with all of that said, that means the company has 18 wrestlers currently working with them. Cody Rhodes, The Young Bucks, Chris Jericho, Hangman Page, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, Joey Janela, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, Pac, Seema, El Lindemann, T-Hawk, Takahiro Yakamura, those four, of course, from the OWE promotion, and then female wrestlers Brandi Rhodes, if she plans to do in-ring, Britt Baker, and Penelope Ford. 18 at the moment, still quite a ways to go, but a good start. Okay, over to WWE land now, and if you're like me, I'm sure you're sick and tired of the exact same NXT call-up montages airing on every single show. It's ridiculous. Well, fans who attended live this week got to see some of that talent in ring. Apparently, Heavy Machinery worked the dark match after the SmackDown tapings in Jacksonville, Florida, defeating the Colognes, while EC3 and Lacey Evans worked dark matches before Raw in Orlando on Monday. One person we did not see was Lars Sullivan. Apparently, Sullivan showed up for Raw on Monday and he was scheduled to work a dark match, but it didn't happen. Instead, he left the building early, suffering from what is believed to be an anxiety attack. Sullivan was then scheduled to be in Jacksonville for SmackDown Live tapings, but he didn't show up for that either. Instead, he flew back home to Colorado, and there's no word on whether he'll be at TV this week. We will investigate further into the situation and the ramifications coming out of it with Dave Meltzer in the second hour of the show. Looking forward, we are, of course, in the midst of the Rumble season. And so far in the Rumble, we've got R-Truth, Drew McIntyre, Big E, Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Jeff Hardy, Dean Ambrose, Samoa Joe, Bobby Lashley, John Cena, Elias, Baron Corbin, Jinder Mahal, Apollo Crews, Andrade Cien Almas, Rey Mysterio, and Mustafa Ali. In case you missed any of those announcements, that's who's in on the guys' side. Now, for the Women's Royal Rumble, and it's pretty much the reason why I'm running things down here, we've got Carmella, Bayley, Ember Moon, Natalya, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, Sarah Logan, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, Alicia Fox, Zelina Vega, Naomi, and interestingly enough, Sasha Banks. Now, the reason why I bring that up, because she is also challenging for Ronda Rousey's Raw Women's Championship at the pay-per-view. So that means you've got Sasha doing double duty. So may I make the bold prediction of Becky also doing double duty if she doesn't happen to win that title? Just throwing that out there. WWE have announced a new tournament pitting the stars of NXT, NXT UK, and 205 Live against one another later this month, with the inaugural Worlds Collide competition scheduled for Royal Rumble weekend. Taking place at Royal Rumble Access on the 26th of January, Worlds Collide will start with a 15-man battle royal, the order of which will determine the first round matches for a single elimination tournament, and the winner of the said battle royal will receive a bye into the second stage. That's actually a really cool format. Just throwing that out there. Well planned. Well done, WWE. The finals take place the following day. That's the 27th of January, with the following superstars confirmed to take part. So it was supposed to be five from each brand. From NXT, Adam Cole, Velveteen Dream, Dominik Dijakovic, so Dominik Dijak, Keith Lee, and Otis Dozovich, strangely enough. From NXT UK, Mark Andrews, Tyler Bate, Travis Banks, Jordan Devlin, and Zach Gibson. And 205 Live has Cedric Alexander, Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, TJP, and one that is TBA. Now, that TBA spot in the 205 Live pool originally had Humberto Carrillo. That's the Ultimo Ninja, or who used to be the Ultimo Ninja, but he has since been removed from the tournament, so right now they just have a TBA. I don't know if they're going to announce him later and they made a mistake, or someone else is going to pop into that spot. Now, whoever wins the tournament is going to claim a future title opportunity of their choosing, with Worlds Collide eventually airing as a network special, though there's no word on when it is going to be uploaded or when it's going to take place. So that's very interesting, because that could mean you'll have cross brands happening here, where let's say the winner of 205 Live could challenge for the NXT title or vice versa. It could be a way to move people around. I'm very curious about this tournament. It's a very cool idea, and fresh matchups that will be happening is definitely key. Speaking of that 205 Live spot, though, maybe it'll go to this gentleman. Trevor Lee has officially signed with the WWE. Of course, you may remember he's a former three-time X Division champion in Impact, and rumors of him going to WWE have been circulating since he announced leaving Impact and his contract expiring on January 1st, 2019. WWE has officially announced its United Kingdom Performance Center. The UK Performance Center was unveiled in London, England on Friday to coincide with the NXT Blackpool Takeover weekend. This is, of course, WWE's second performance center, the first international one, with the company's United States location having opened in Orlando in 2013. Triple H was quoted as saying, "The new performance center is the first of what will be many outside of the US." There's going to be a special on Mean Gene Okerlund called Let Me Tell You Something, Gene, that will air following Raw this Monday on the WWE Network. apparently WWE has been working on this since November of last year. It was just something that was supposed to air, and I guess the process got sped up with the passing of Mean Gene last week. And finally, for WWE news, it looks like 205 Live is moving back to Tuesdays. The WWE Network schedule lists that next week's episode of 205 Live will premiere at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday, January 15th, and WWE.com's listings have changed as well. A few notes from outside the WWE. It was announced on Thursday that Bandido versus Flip Gordon will headline ROH's Road to G1 Supercard show in Dallas, Texas on Thursday, January 24th. PW Insiders reporting that Melissa Santos is heading to Impact. Now, she's best known as the ring announcer for Lucha Underground, and this move makes total sense for her personal life since she's engaged to Brian Cage. It also makes complete nonsense for her career since she's signing with Impact. New Japan Pro Wrestling has announced some of the details for next month's New Beginning USA show in Nashville, Tennessee. The card will take place at the War Memorial Auditorium on Saturday, February 2nd. Tickets will go on sale on Tuesday, January 15th at 10 a.m. Central Time. Mark Andrada, get your credit card ready. Former UFC heavyweight champion Frank Mir is going to make his professional wrestling debut at Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. This is set for April 4th in New Jersey. It's part of WrestleMania week activities. Now, this was formerly Matt Riddle's Bloodsport. The show now carries Barnett's name and is promoted as a hybrid wrestling and MMA show with no ring ropes, finishes by knockout or submission, and a look and feel based on the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie of the same name from the 80s. I wonder if they thought about bringing in Rob Van Damme just to take his place, just to see what would happen. After an interview with the Daily Star where he supposedly criticized snowflakes made headlines, Dwayne The Rock Johnson clarified that the interview in question never even happened. Setting the record straight, the interview never happened. Never said those words. 100% false. If I ever had an issue with someone, a group, a community, or a generation, I'd seek them out, create dialogue, and only do my best to understand them. Criticize and ain't my style. I don't cast stones. And we all get to be who we are, said The Rock in regards to all that controversy. Let's flip over to MMA for a quick sec here. Couple stories. According to the California State Athletic Commission, UFC light heavyweight champion John Jones tested clean on his various UFC 232 drug tests with no picograms of the turnabol metabolite present. Jones is set to defend that belt against Anthony Smith at March's UFC 235 in Las Vegas. If he can get license, that process is expected to kick off this month with Jones and the commission, who said they want to speak with him about the picogram situation and everything surrounding the situation. Now, if you remember back, UFC had to move the entire 232 card from Vegas to LA due to Jones testing positive yet again. Speaking of the Nevada State Athletic Commission, well, they confirmed that Brock Lesnar has yet to pay his $250,000 fine for his drug test failures from 2016. So listen, friends, until he pays that, he ain't coming back. So that's still very much up in the air. And that wraps up your week in pro wrestling and a tidbit of MMA news. Before we take a break here, I did want to let you know that the Royal Rumble, of course, is coming up, and that means Rumble Strikes. Yes, we're doing it again. It is the wrestling-themed comedy shows that we do for all of the big four events. Local fans here in Toronto, come on down. This is happening Friday, January 25th at 11 p.m. The tickets are already on sale for the event. It's only $15. You can get them at SundayNightsMainEvent.com. I've posted the link up there, or it is on the Twitter as well, so at SNME Radio. People playing this time around, Gary Rideout, fan favorite, known as Gary Cena. He is returning along with that. David Arquette's tag team partner, pro wrestler RJ City, as featured on TMZ. Yeah, RJ is back in the show. I'm sure he'll just be thrilled that's now how I'm referring to him, as David Arquette's tag team partner. Along with that, for fans of Kim's Convenience, which you can find up here on CBC or on Netflix as well, Andrew Fung is playing again. He is a huge wrestling fan. He loves Nakamura, and he is going to be playing the show. So once again, it is the Rumble Strikes Comedy Show. Tickets are available at SundayNightsMainEvent.com. If you don't know what I'm talking about, these shows are so fun. I host them. All of these guys play. If you've seen the show Whose Line Is It Anyway, think about that show with a wrestling theme and combine it with a little bit of Fear Factor at the end of it, where we spread mouse traps out all over the stage and these guys are blindfolded and play barefoot on mouse traps. It's a fun show. Come on out. Everybody is a wrestling fan that attends this event. We just talk about wrestling all night, and it's like one giant inside joke. So Friday, January 25th, 11 p.m. at Comedy Bar. Did I fail to mention that? Comedy Bar here in Toronto, 945 Bloor Street West. It'll be a fun night. We're going to take a break. We're going to come on back. Yep, let's talk about All Elite Wrestling and that press conference that they did. That's next, Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
I think it was about 4 months ago, I was standing in the ring at All In, and I was surrounded by the best fans in the entire world. I felt like I was trapped in this literal wall of sound. It was your belief and your passion. It started a fire. And guys, we have to keep that fire going, right?
Well, there's just a sample of what you got on Tuesday if you tuned into the live stream of All Elite Wrestling and their rally that they had. And to me, the presentation, I'm sure anyone who's listening to this that knows anything about what I enjoy and what I can't stand in the world of wrestling knows exactly where I'm headed here. And that is, of course, the presentation of this felt Bush League. It felt like an episode of Being the Elite on a larger scale, where the production values were so poor, and that to me really hurt what was going on here. If I'm a TV exec watching this, it wasn't good. Yeah, they had pyro, but they had pyro during the day. You don't use pyro during the day. It looked ridiculous. It looked so low budget. The stage looked very average. The fact that there was a parking lot right next door, and when they cut to one of the cameras, the closer camera, you could see just cars in a parking lot next door. What's going on? This looked terrible. There were Bullet Club flags consistently in the way of the close-up shot, and the audio reminded me of 2009 Ring of Honor. It was bad. The crowd wasn't mic'd. There was a lot of overmodulation going on as well. This should have been done in a controlled environment, and the presentation should have been a bit more organized, in my opinion. I mean, granted, perhaps that's the attraction of what these guys do. As I said, you know, they have a very successful series. Being the Elite is very successful, but this is now a different level. You're running an entire organization, and you've linked yourselves up with the owner of an NFL team. Should this not have been a little bit more professional? It seemed disorganized. I mean, maybe that was the gimmick because everyone was so excited, but it just didn't seem all that professional. And can someone please explain to me why Pac wore his ring gear to a press conference? Completely ridiculous. I mean, I know he wants to show off his physique, but he's going to a press conference. I'm surprised there's not memes that have been made of Pac just in random places, always in his gear. Because apparently he doesn't own any other clothes. All right, let's get that out of the way. That's a few minutes of the bad. Here's the good, though. There's a lot of it. I don't want to seem all bad. I want to balance this on out here. The good, Joey Janela and Pac signing with the company. That's great for hardcore fans. And that's who they have right now. They have a hardcore fans. And you're already making the fans that you have happy. And that is a key and something WWE doesn't do enough. They've already set up angles for Joey Janela with MJF. MJF, to me, is a superstar in waiting. I like this guy. He's so strong on the mic. I don't know how he got there because I don't know what his deal is with MLW. But we'll find that out next week. plus Pac and Hangman. That feud is already set up as well. In your first press conference, you already have two feuds that are set up. One, perhaps, with title implications. So that's very cool. Jericho. Obviously, a huge name. Jericho's going to get some mainstream attention, and honestly, that's the key here. However, with Jericho's contract, apparently he is allowed to work with New Japan Pro Wrestling. So my question to all of you out there is, and I do not know the answer to this, and I will ask Dave later, can Jericho work the Ring of Honor New Japan card at Madison Square Garden? Because if he can, that takes a bit away from what is happening here. I do think one of the keys is guys being exclusive to this brand, not being able to find these performers anywhere else, which is why you tune in and watch this brand, because that's where you see these guys. And overall, it is exciting. I mean, what they did was exciting. I just had a really, really hard time getting over the production value, and I thought that was a bad start. So production bad, announcements good is really how the whole good and bad works here for All Elite Wrestling and this press conference that they did. But my other question, throwing it out there, is can the wrestling industry right now sustain another brand? Another place, more content. I mean, I know content is king, but I do kind of think that with these guys coming into place, it will definitely hurt Ring of Honor. It is the same fan base as Ring of Honor. And as if they're not dead already, I think this is a nail in the coffin of Impact. Because who is watching that? Who is watching Impact when these guys get television? And what it'll also hurt, perhaps more than everything that I've just mentioned, is the New Japan infiltration into the North American market. Some of the keys of that are now gone, and that the Bucks and Cody and Kenny Omega. It's not announced yet, but yes, it looks like Kenny Omega is headed to All Elite Wrestling, and that'll be done when his contract with New Japan expires. So Kenny Omega, the one that was supposed to lead the way for New Japan into North America, will go to All Elite. And really, I do see that really, really hurting New Japan in the North American market. So, listen, it's great for talent. There's a whole bunch of big contracts going around right now. And it could be great for fans. But still a lot of unanswered questions at this point, which makes it very fun to speculate. And that is what we are going to do. Next up, the Triple Threat segment. Brian Fritz and Mike Sempervivi will join me. We'll talk about the press conference and then speculate on what might be next for All Elite Wrestling. That is next right here on Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Is the Triple Threat.
There's gonna be a Triple Threat.
Triple Threat.
Triple Threat match.
On Sunday night's Main Event.
It is Triple Threat time here on Sunday night's Main Event. Joining us this week, two gentlemen who actually have not been on for a while, so looking forward to chatting with them. First up, co-host of Wrestling Observer Live, Mike Sempervivi. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing fantastic.
Great, and this week joined by host of Between the Ropes, Brian Fritz. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for coming back on the show. So podcast pundits, the three of us here this week, who have definitely been interacting online, and all the chatter this week, of course, has been the All Elite Wrestling press conference. I've talked about it a bunch on this show. And Brian, I'm going to start with you because you and I went back and forth at least a little bit in regards to the fact that Pac just showed up wearing his gear, which blew my mind because I thought it looked so ridiculous when he walked out. But what did you think overall? We'll go through the good, the bad, and the ugly of All Elite. What did you like, Brian?
Well, you know, when it came to that press conference, as I was watching it, I was kind of thinking like, well, this is supposed to be a first impression. I'd kind of like to see something a little bit more structured or even, I guess, a little bit more quote-unquote professional. But then the more I thought about it, I said, you know what, this isn't just a first introduction of AEW to the world, it's to the fans. And there's a lot of fans that are eating this up. They're watching it online. They're there in attendance. Overall, I think, you know, we got to know a little bit more about All Elite, and they'll roll out more and more things as they go along here. So I don't think it was a bad first impression overall.
So with that said, though, Brian, because, you know, you mentioned they have these fans, but Mike, looking at a press conference, and especially, Mike, I listen to you all the time, and I know you're a big football fan, and this having the link to the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, the structure that Brian mentioned there, or lack thereof and lack of professionalism, did that throw you, considering the backing that these guys have?
You know, it was a little bit of a surprise, you know, that when they panned back and they showed the crowd. And look, it was, I'm not going to, you know, dismiss the crowd or anything like that. Everybody there was very rowdy, but you wouldn't be able to tell that because they weren't mic'd very well. And when they kept switching back to that camera, which showed, you know, basically it was like a little rally in a parking lot. I mean, you know, if you put some cars around there, it was just like, you know, somebody signing at the dealership. And obviously it was bigger than that. And I don't mean to play it down a little bit, but that didn't look major league. It just didn't at all. Brian and I actually talked about in his podcast a little bit this week, you know, where was Shad Khan? You know, he was standing off camera. He is a great charismatic figure who is the owner of Fulham FC, even though his son may run it the same way he's going to run this wrestling venture. But, you know, he's the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Just his face and his persona is very, it's larger than life. And, you know, him making an appearance out there, I think would have went well. You know, but as Brian said, we can see where this kind of goes from here. But I think for people that may be outside that All Elite and that bubble that sits there and watches every single, you know, Being the Elite show and has really followed these guys, I think they may have been tripped up a little bit. Now, the saving grace in that is obviously the names they announced, with the final one being Chris Jericho.
Yeah, that is, of course, big. But I think what the three of us are really talking about here, because, you know, we tend to live in a bit of a bubble as well, just following wrestling so in depth. But I think the key to All Elite is gaining that mainstream attention. Jericho helped with that. But I think, Mike, you made a great point there in regards to the Khan family and knowing that they're backing this and putting themselves out there. I think that would have drawn some attention from the ESPNs of the world, and that's extremely valuable. And the way that these guys are going to differentiate themselves from the Impacts and MLWs and ROHs of the world. Brian, what do you think are the key steps here for that mainstream exposure beyond Jericho?
Well, to me, first and foremost, it is what kind of television contract can they get? Can they land with a major provider? You know, not only in the United States, and obviously that's first and foremost what they're looking at, but if they can land a couple of really good international deals as well. But, you know, they've got to get on a major channel in the United States to really show, like, you know, we have an owner that has a lot of money and has a lot of inroads with places. We can build a really good infrastructure, but to prove that we can also get very powerful partners when it comes to our distribution, to show that we are major league, to show that we are not just some fly-by-night, you know, wrestling company that's going to be out here that we've seen come and go, you know, in the past. So we're going to be a major player in the game for the long run that's going to include major talent as well. So I think that TV deal is going to be the first thing I look at in trying to close something that really is a big deal and a big channel.
Mike, do you think it has to be TV, or would a streaming service suffice here?
No, it's got to be TV.
Really?
It's got to be TV. Yeah, I mean, unless you get an ESPN Plus, it's going to pay you some insane amount of money to go on there. I think it's got to be TV. And I know the Showtime has been bandied about, and I don't know if that's a direction that I could, you know, really, it's hard for me to wrap my brain around that one. When Turner is also at play and we've been hearing about TBS or TNT or something like that, to me, that's the best way to go. I mean, these are established channels that already have a massive amount of followers. They're in the top 10. and at the very least the top 15 when it comes to cable channels in the United States. They're very high profile. And unless you're going to have a situation where you have a Paramount that's willing to throw them money and give them a great slot and link them up with Bellator, both there and then producing their programming to put out as pay-per-views on DAZN or something like that, to me, Turner is the best way to go, and it lets everybody know that you're there. I mean, if you do this on almost any other channel, I'm sorry, there's not even any point to doing it. I remember, you know, ROH on Destination America. You know, you think about all of these smaller channels that are out there, and, you know, it's not enough for this group to just have TV. It's just not. Not with the backing that's behind them, not with the people that are going to be involved, not for the things that they say they want to do. You cannot go second tier. It has got to be first run. It has got to be high class, and it's got to be Turner or something that's going to be very, very impactful.
Now, TV, of course, a big deal, and along with that, the mention of Jericho, the star power associated on the TV, and one of the other mainstream names that has been bandied about is, of course, Jim Ross, upon his contract expiring with WWE, him being able to go over and do this. Here's the question, though. Is Jim Ross the right voice for a company that is appealing to a new audience, an audience that has found them online? Brian, would you put Jim Ross in the announce chair?
I would not put him as the main voice for the company. Now, could he be a part of special events? Absolutely. And I think Jim Ross's real value with a company like that isn't on camera. I think it's behind the scenes, mm-hmm. talent relations, and going out and be able to, secure wrestlers and to, use his wealth of knowledge in that manner, because Jim has been around the business for so long and he's so well respected. You know, if there is a special event on TV, or even if Jim was somehow going to be, I don't know if this could work, if they wanted to go with a three-man booth, but he wasn't the main voice. I'm not a big proponent of three people in the booth, and I'd be worried that maybe because of Jim's presence that it would be too overpowering for everybody else because of the name and gravitas that he brings to it. But, you know, if there's a special event or something, you want to bring Jim in to where he called a match or was part of a broadcast, I could see that. But I would look for a different direction with just a different voice, somebody that's younger. And I would still want Jim to be a part of the company, though, just not in an on-air role.
You know, I thought I was in the minority. I have that, you know, that same opinion, and I agree with you. Behind the scenes, he could work. Mike, though, are we in the minority, or are you on that side as well in regards to Jim Ross? Because it just seems like everywhere you turn, they're like, oh, JR should be hired, and he should be the voice of this company.
No, I echo that sentiment 100% alongside you guys. I mean, I think he serves such a great purpose behind the scenes. I mean, he has seen everything that has worked and not worked, and worked for some geniuses and worked for some abject failures in this business. And he's got a lot to offer that way, as well as helping out whoever is going to be that announcer, whoever is going to be that voice, and helping them along and helping out anybody else that may come along after him. I think, as Brian said, as a one-off, as, you know, look, Max Kellerman at some point had to replace Larry Merchant on the HBO broadcast. But Larry was still occasionally given a chance to do commentary. He's given a chance to opine and speak on situations. And I think that's where the presence of Jim Ross on camera could be something. You can have him voice intros. You can have him speak on video about Jericho and things like that and do voiceovers, because he does have such a unique voice. He is a presence that everybody knows. Go ahead and utilize him that way. But when you're trying to put on this new product, when you're trying to quote unquote change the world, how are you going to do that when you keep reaching back in the past too much?
I'm so surprised that all of us are on the same side of this argument, because I do believe that they are going to head that direction with Jim being the voice. But I agree with you both that maybe it's not the right fit for a new company. All right, let's.
Well, and we may have seen that guy on that broadcast. We may have seen it with Alex Marvez,
yeah.
Seasoned, but he's definitely not seasoned doing play-by-play, but he is very seasoned as far as being around a microphone.
Right. Yeah, it did seem like they were grooming Alex for something with the company there. Let's move along and go back to a Monday night. We saw Hulk Hogan return on Monday night. Mike, I'm going to start with you. You were not in favor of Hogan returning, correct? But what did you think of what he did?
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it? You just avoided it?
I did. It was a, you know, I could not do it. I just off of principle alone, and for, you know, some of the people that I'm friends with and that I have to look at and listen to, and I respected them too much to go out there and watch Hogan. And what I thought was, frankly, I mean, no, it was about Mean Gene, and I know that no one else could speak on Mean Gene like Hulk Hogan could, but I thought it was, to be real honest with you, a cheap way to get Hogan back on the air, a cheap way to pop a rating on their first show back. And I thought it was really disingenuous. And I think there's a lot of people who have passed away who haven't gotten a shred of what Mean Gene got, which is okay. I'm not talking anything about Mean Gene, but they used Hogan and trotted him out there and then used the hand wave of, well, Ric Flair is going to be there too. And he was never actually on the program at all. He only did a pre-tape behind the scenes. And what did they do on their Twitter feed? Oh, here's Hulk Hogan merchandise. We got brand new stuff up in the shop. I thought the whole thing was garbage and disingenuous, and I had to watch Crown Jewel. I understand that. From a business point of view, I was on the air at the time with Brian. We had to cover that show like a news show. I did not have to watch Hulk Hogan on Raw, so I did not.
Wow. I knew you had skipped your show on Tuesday, but I didn't realize that you had actually skipped watching the entire broadcast.
Well, I didn't skip the show. Brian basically gave me off on Tuesday, which I you know, that's for a different time in a different place. But, yeah. That's why I was not on the show on Tuesday. That was Brian's choice.
Right. Okay. Huh. Wow. Well, with that in mind, Brian Fritz, did you watch this on Monday, or were you boycotting as well?
I did watch it, yeah. But I felt uneasy going into it.
Yeah.
I understood having Hogan there, and to me the question was going to be, like, is this just a one-time thing to get Hogan on there for Mean Gene? Are they going to do something beyond that? We don't know yet, but like Mike said, the way that WWE capitalized on it immediately from a standpoint of putting up merchandise and tweeting about that, I didn't feel good about that at all, because it felt more like, okay, we found a way to get Hogan back
in. Finally,
like,
yep.
You know, like we've been looking for this opportunity, and yep. Originally, you know, they had him talk to the locker room. Locker room didn't like it too much. Okay, let's hold off on that. Now we've got Crown Jewel, but hey, but that they really want Hogan. It's not us saying we're pitching it to him. They want Hogan because they love nostalgia. We'll put Hogan on that. But it was a very controlled environment. It was very quick. It's like, how can we possibly get him in WWE television? You know, how can we get him on Raw? And they found another way, and they really shoehorned it in there. I felt uneasy. Overall, I liked the segment. I really liked the video package they did for Mean Gene, and I'm curious to see what they're doing with the documentary that they have. But, you know, the way that they've been looking for a way to wedge Hogan back on TV, and they found it.
They did. They found it. Okay, let's move out of that and instead look at the road to WrestleMania, which is pretty interesting this year, because odds are, and I think it's pretty much confirmed at this point, the women are driving the company right now and are going to main event. And the question is whether it's going to be two or three people in this main event surrounding Charlotte, Becky, and Ronda. This, of course, the Royal Rumble plays into this. Mike, how do you see it playing out? I mean, we've got Becky in a match at the Royal Rumble. We've got Charlotte in the Royal Rumble. How do you see this working? Is it dual winners? And is it a three-way, or is it just two at WrestleMania?
Boy, I don't know. You know, if you told me it was going to be four people at WrestleMania and you were somehow going to figure out a way to get Asuka in there, I'd accept that, too. I mean, if it's a one-on-one match, a three-way, I mean, there's so many things that they could do at WrestleMania that I'd be excited about and that I could make the case should main event the show. You know, it was really an embarrassment of riches right now in some ways. And how I'm thinking it might go is Charlotte wins the Rumble. You know, Becky doesn't win the title, and Becky's out of the picture until one of the other pay-per-views comes along. And Ronda remains champion, defeats Sasha. And she's going to go on to WrestleMania, definitely with the Raw title around her waist. But how does Becky get back in there? You know, because Charlotte can state her case. She wants to be in the main event at WrestleMania. It's squeezing Becky back in there in these next two pay-per-views. And I believe they're going to do that. And she's going to walk in there with the title that Asuka currently holds right now, does it on one of the pay-per-views leading into WrestleMania, probably attacks Ronda on Raw in the process, just to do that one more time. And then I think at WrestleMania, I think you do the undefeated, undisputed Ronda Rousey coming out of it. Now, I know you can make a case for anybody in that match. I think that would be a great idea to have her win that title, and then go on, take both belts, and be the person that can appear on both USA and on Fox when it comes time for the billion-dollar TV season.
Right, right. Interesting. I do, however, think if Becky doesn't walk away with that title at WrestleMania, you're going to have a mass revolt. Brian?
Yeah, you very well could. I agree with Mike for the most part of, like, at WrestleMania, I think they're going to do the triple threat involving all three. And I think the story maybe they want to tell is, hey, before, remember it was Becky that was getting the title opportunity and Charlotte wedged her way into that match.
Ooh.
And now I think they want to do it the other way around. So where it's kind of, okay, it's Charlotte's match because she wins the Rumble, but Becky finds a way to get herself involved in that, you know, and gets involved. Whether or not she wins at Mania, probably not. I agree that Ronda Rousey would probably be the person to win, but quite honestly, and it's nothing against any of those talent because they're incredible, but I still favor the idea and much prefer the one-on-one matchup between mm-hmm. Ronda and Becky Lynch because there has been so much heat that's been built up, you know, not only did what they've done a little bit on TV, but obviously what they've done on social media and elsewhere. And that, to me, that's the match. Just this one-on-one encounter between these two big personalities and the things that they've already done and the things they could continue to do to build to that match. But we all know when it comes to WrestleMania, that's not always WWE's way, and they like to get everybody involved in bigger matches, and it's probably going to be a triple threat.
Well, I have to say, that is a very interesting idea about the booking scenario of now Becky shoehorning her way into the match that Charlotte has, because it comes full circle, and I'm sure they didn't plan it that way, but it would make for a nice storyline if they did that. Gentlemen, we are going to end it there. Thank you very much for joining me. Brian, where can people hear you?
Well, everybody can listen to the Between the Ropes podcast. You can find that anywhere and everywhere you listen to podcasts, and you can follow me on Twitter at Brian Fritz.
And Mike?
It's me on Twitter at Semper Vivi. You can listen to me on Wrestling Observer Live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m., Sunday, 6 p.m., and on the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. All of those things you can find at F4WOnline.com.
Thanks, guys. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Taking a break. When we come back, bartender Dave will make his return to the show, and we're going to chat about a show that we watched yesterday. The NXT UK TakeOver special happened. We did a podcast about it, and we'll talk about today's fallout of that. Next, Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio. Oh, I want something just like—
What do Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Lucha Underground all have in common?
They're all booked better than WWE?
Well, yes, but the answer I was looking for is that they all sell merch at ProWrestlingTees.com. From Okada to Omega, CM Punk to Dalton Castle, and what better way to show off that you enjoy a good super kick party than by having it written on your chest? The best selection of wrestling merch anywhere is at ProWrestlingTees.com. It's the year when the dragons are we back up in here. Spit fire
from the back of veneers, coming straight from the belly of the beast. Welcome back. It is Sunday night's main event, and for those of you that are patrons, you may have heard myself and this gentleman chat extensively, an hour-long chat about, it was WWE NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool, the longest title in the history of the WWE, I believe. Bartender Dave is back on the line today to just give us a brief summary about this event. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Hooray, I'm doing great. That's a hell of a mouthful you just had there. Like, holy crap.
Well, we were saying it all day yesterday, and the reason why I wanted to have you on today, number one, a lot of people who are listening to this feed aren't necessarily patrons and didn't get to hear our show yesterday, where we spent an hour talking about this, but more so about the NXT UK brand itself, because you were telling me about this last time we watched regular NXT. You really like this brand. What has attracted you so much to getting into this?
I was, like I said on the show, I was surprised to even see it come up because I didn't know about it. And when I delved into it, like the characters and the style of wrestling, it's something so different than what you see on your regular WWE programming. And the storylines, you can watch them progress because like they started from nothing. They just started with matches and then they slowly snuck these storylines in and you just get so involved. Like I love the action, characters and some of the superstars are just brilliant. Like we talked about yesterday, Zach Gibson is my big, like my favorite right now, and I'm talking right across the board, all WWE. Zach Gibson is a fantastic heel. You got Pete Dunne as the champion. He's a really legitimate heel, or a legitimate champ. I just love everything about it.
Now, looking at this yesterday, of course, this hasn't been on the air all that long, but we had the NXT TakeOver, UK TakeOver, for the first time. And overall, we saw 5 matches in 2.5 hours as a first look. Like, let's say someone, even like myself, who's really just diving into this and watching this, how do you think this did as someone who's watched the brand from its since its startup?
I enjoyed it fully. I found that the last 2 matches kind of sunk a bit for me. Like, they had such a hot start on this show. Like, the first match, like, easily the match of the night, Mustache Mountain versus Zach Gibson and James Drake for the inaugural tag team championship. It was just crazy. Like, the crowd was amazing, and it just kept on going up and up and up, and then it just kind of fell off for me. I know that a lot of people love the ladies match. I wasn't a big fan, but I'm not a big fan of Toni Storm either. But that final match, Pete Dunne and Joe Coffey, it just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, it went almost 35 minutes, and there has been a lot of criticism, you know, and fallout from this, that it was definitely a match that went too long, probably about 15 minutes too long, and Joe Coffey just not in a spot with his development as a wrestler to be main eventing a pay-per-view special.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. Like, he does have talent, and he has a future. I just think that they threw him in there before his character was fully developed. Because they didn't really have anybody else or anyone else that was built as high as he was for Pete Dunne. And you could tell he was just a placeholder for the next feud that Dunne gets into.
And that is, of course, Walter. We saw the big debut at the end of the show. I'm already excited to see Pete Dunne versus Walter.
Oh, my gosh. Like, he's got a full head on him. It was amazing watching them stand across from each other. And like you said, I can't wait to see it. Like, just salivating to see what happens. Because I haven't followed any of Walter's indie stuff. I don't know anything about him. I just know that he's this big, giant German dude. So I can't wait to see what happens.
So if you want to check that out, it's Dave and myself, and it's available on the Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. And Dave, we're going to be talking to you, though, around Royal Rumble time, following along with NXT and doing the TakeOver special, correct?
Oh, yes, sir. I will be there for sure. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, good stuff. Hey, one question. Do you see anyone from NXT going into the Rumble? You want to make a bold prediction? Because they did it last year with, of all people, Adam Cole and Andrade Cien Almas. Who do you see popping in there this year?
Velveteen Dream.
You think, huh?
Yeah, I think it's about time that they pull the trigger on him.
No, I don't think so. I can't.
No?
I think he's great. I think that he is the huge Raw debut the day after WrestleMania.
Okay, yeah, but I see what you're saying. But, like, look at what they did with Adam Cole. They brought him into the Rumble, did nothing with him.
True.
Just to get the fans used to this guy. Like,
right.
Little red hair in there, and I think it would be great for Velveteen Dream, and then have him after WrestleMania. Boom, come out. You hit that music, crowd goes wild.
I wouldn't be surprised. My prediction, maybe Ricochet, and he'll do a cool spot with Kofi. There you go. Ricochet Kofi passes the torch to Ricochet this year. Anyhow, Dave, look forward to chatting with you at the Rumble, and thanks for being on the show here.
My pleasure. I can't wait.
When we come back from one Dave to the next, Dave Meltzer returns here on Sunday night's main event. I'm going to get the scoop on his tour of Japan and then the exodus of New Japan and what's going on with All Elite. And along with that, we have talked a lot about All Elite already, but I also want to dive into this Lars Sullivan situation that took place on Monday night, and he did actually not attend the Tuesday night tapings. So we'll get an update on Lars Sullivan and what the possible ramifications could be of this anxiety attack, because WWE had some very big plans for Lars. Wondering if those plans are still in place. We'll talk to Dave Meltzer about that next Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like to hear the second hour, just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio and become a patron. This gives you access to the weekly shows and all the podcasts that we do as well. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio.